Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. I'm Jim Browdy. She is Marjorie. And last night's Golden Globe Awards offered a few surprises and a lot of edgy humor.
Like a supermodel's vagina, let's all give a warm welcome to Leonardo DiCaprio.
Gravity is nominated for Best Film. It's the story of how George Clooney would rather float away into space and die than spend one more minute with a woman his own age.
Two of the great lines and a night of great lines across the board. They were terrific. Just a sample of some of the best from Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, who were the hosts again last night. Here with us in Studio 3 for his take on last night is Tom Connelly, Tom's professor of English at Suffolk University. Tom, it's great to meet you.
Great to be here.
Well, before we get to what won and what didn't win, did you see the reaction of Leonardo DiCaprio to that?
Yes.
How did he react? Did he laugh? Was he ticked off?
He seemed to take it in stride, and they were going after him quite a bit. And also, Tom Hanks, it was open season on Tom Hanks last night.
Tom Hanks didn't seem happy.
And quite a contrast. He was described as wearing a prosthetic penis, even at the awards ceremony. So, I mean, Tina and Amy, they took no prisoners last night on Hollywood's male star community.
Can I tell you something? I watched this thing last night, and I have to say, I am so sick of, Doogie Howser, whatever his name is. What's Doogie Howser's real name? I can't think of
who has
Neil Patrick Harris.
Thank you, John.
He was fine the first time, the singing and dance. All 90% of these hosts are atrocious, and they wear on you. I thought Tina Fey and Amy Poehler were as funny and as perfect with an audience of huge stars as you can get. Alessandra Stanley, who I love, is a TV critic in the New York Times, gave them at best mixed reviews. What was your sense, Tom?
Well, I think they continued the tradition they started last year. And also, the two of them working together is fantastic.
Yeah.
There's also something, though, about the atmosphere of the Golden Globes that you almost expect everyone to, somebody's going to throw a drink or fall in a drink or fall in their face. And they play on that so beautifully, and their own rapport with each other just makes the whole thing seem like a big, beautiful mess, which is how Tina Fey summed it up at the end of the show.
And if you don't watch it, by the way, in addition to some people coming on stage with a martini in one case, there are bottles
Thompson.
Of Moët on every single table.
Or people Emma Thompson with her shoes.
Yes, her shoes off and
a martini
glass.
On the other hand.
Yeah. Well, Cate Blanchett, who won for the Woody Allen movie. What's the name of the Woody Allen movie?
Blue Jasmine.
Thank you. Who won for Blue Jasmine? Joked that people kept refilling
her glass with vodka. Yeah.
So I didn't realize there was that much drinking going on.
Yes, that's
Globes.
A long-standing thing with the Golden Globes. Also, when you see it, it really is like the sort of banquet we've all been to 100 times, as opposed to the Oscars or even the Tonys, which takes place in these gigantic theaters with hundreds of people. But here, one of the things that was strange about the show, they looked so close, but it took so long for them to get up on stage.
Really?
Which is also one of the things about this show. It seems everything seems to be by the seat of the pants. And it's going to work or it's not. If it doesn't, Jonah Hill staring at the teleprompter and then finally saying, this has nothing to do with anything
long
I'm talking
script,
about.
Yeah.
But it all works. The strangest thing is every year it gets taken more seriously. And the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, even though it's mostly freelancers and, people, they were Tina Fey and Amy Poehler were even joking about, making, Jack Benny era type spoofs of foreign people's names. It's still taken. This is definitely dress rehearsal for the Oscars.
But they say that it's not as predictive. They mentioned a couple of pieces I read this morning is they get two times to be accurate. An accurate predictor because they have the best musical or comedy and the best drama. So they obviously get two shots at what's going to win at the Oscars. And I don't have the hard numbers with me, Tom, but from what I read, they're right maybe 50% of the time. This notion that this is the pre-Oscar Oscars is not always the case.
It's the perception. People have come to regard it as the warm-up for the Oscars. And again, the fact that the show is so loose and louche with people being half in the bag adds to that the idea that this is fun, but it also could be the key to what's going to get Best Picture or Best Actor or Best Emmys, too.
We were just talking a couple of minutes ago with Gene Rivers, Reverend Gene Rivers, and there's been some upset among not just black tweeters and social media types, but white people as well, that the 12 Years a Slave, although it did win for the Best Drama, did not get its due last night. What do you think?
Well, I was listening to that, and it's extraordinary that only in the climate we have right now would Best Picture be seen as a consolation prize.
But the argument was it was nominated for as many awards as American Hustle. American Hustle won 3, 4, whatever it was, and they only got one.
Yeah, and the big criticism is that Jennifer Lawrence won.
Yes.
Over Ms. Nyong'a.
Yes.
I think there is something to this. And also, this is part of the Golden Globes, too. They're not perceived as having any kind of social conscience or any kind of awareness of the world outside of that ballroom or outside of Hollywood, even though it's the Foreign Press Association. I mean, every year I see people laughing when the foreign film gets the award given by the Foreign Press Association. I mean, that's the level of seriousness that we have here. In spite of the overhanging, well, it could be, you know, the real thing next time at the Oscars.
So, do you think it is going to be a big difference in next time at the Oscars for 12 Years a Slave?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. As Gene Rivers and you were discussing, there is that sense of political correctness and social commitment. In fact, to me, the Oscars are the Nobel Prize Committee of the entertainment world, where we're going to do the right thing.
Okay.
And we're going to solve America's social problems.
And what
with
is
awards.
This? The honorable mention award thing? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Great.
So one of the things that I assume was moderately controversial, even though, and it's hard for me to say this, he has made some of my favorite films of all time, is Woody Allen wins the Cecil B. DeMille Award for Lifetime Achievement. He, of course, does not show up because he doesn't show up for anything, apparently.
Yeah.
And Diane Keaton, who is one of my favorite actresses of all time, in what I would argue is one of the funniest movies ever made, Annie Hall.
Absolutely.
In particular. Diane Keaton accepts for him, gives a fairly long speech. She ends it singing Make New Friends. Here is Keaton's singing at the end of her speech.
A circle is round, it has no end. That's how long you're going to be my friend. Here's to Woody.
Now, I love her, and I do have mixed feelings about Woody Allen. Now, when she spent the first part of her speech talking about all the great women's parts that Woody Allen had created, and she detailed some of them. Was that an attempt by Diane Keaton to say, I know you're upset that he ended up marrying Sun Yi, or I don't know if he's married to her, who obviously, we know the history there, we don't need to go into it. Was that her attempt to sort of say, I know you're angry at him for this, but you can't be that angry, because even though he did the wrong thing here, he's done such wonderful thing by women like me. And then they have Margot Hemingway, who was in Manhattan, which was also brilliant. In the audience, they flash on her.
And the Cate Blanchett role.
Of course.
Which was one of the great parts.
Yes, extraordinary.
Was that Keaton's agenda last night?
Sun Yi is always there with Woody Allen. You mention Woody Allen, immediately that comes back. But also, her speech was part of this ongoing, rambling, off-the-wall kind of statement. I mean, Jacqueline Bisset, that was the first thing that was online with her speech.
She drunk?
That seems to be the rumor.
We're going to play that for you in a minute. She appears to have been drunk,
But also, it seemed to be Diane was in mourning for her friendship, for her closeness with Woody Allen, and everything that represented. I mean, showing up in the tuxedo, you know, Annie Hall is famous for wearing men's clothes, singing the song, which she sang, you know, Seems Like Old Times, she famously and wonderfully sang.
I'd forgotten
in
about
Annie
that.
Hall.
That is a great point,
To me, it was almost as though this is Annie Hall decades later coming back, asserting her stardom as much as Woody Allen, you know, getting this Lifetime Achievement Award.
I like that. Mm. Well, as long as you brought up the Jacqueline Bisset. Kind of messed up little speech where she continued to talk even after the music played. Can we hear from Jacqueline, please?
Here she,
47 years ago, so the Hollywood Foreign Press gave me a nomination for the promising newcomer. Thank you very much, Hollywood Foreign Press. I'm absolutely shaking. I can't believe this. God knows. Okay. Scottish background to the front. Okay.
By the way, she won Best Actress in a Supporting Role for work in this BBC series called Dancing on the Edge. It was you know, those kind of moments where you feel bad for someone you don't even know. That's the reaction I had. You almost had to avert your eyes.
Yeah, it was kind of a train wreck, but she redeemed it a little bit by, you know, striking the sort of new age positive note about, you know, the secret to beauty is forgiveness. But she's angry at people, as she swore. Elizabeth Moss swore, same expletive.
Who won? What was the thing called Top of the Lake? Or
Top of the Lake, which was...
And also from Mad Men, which I want to talk to you about in a minute, why that wasn't nominated for anything.
Fascinating show. The sort of thing we could never make in the United States. So ambiguous and dark. But to get back to Jacqueline Bisset, who has thought about her recently? I mean, really, this is somebody coming...
I haven't.
I mean, her prominence in America came from the, well, famous, you know, wet bathing suit ad for the movie The Deep, which was, you know, an exploitation film. But she really demonstrated that she has something on the ball. She has an intellect and a spirit, but I really don't think she expected to win, although they all say that. I think she was caught off guard, and she probably had been tippling a bit.
Okay, so people who had no chance of winning last night because they weren't even nominated. I hadn't even thought of this till Chelsea, our colleague, mentioned this morning. Homeland, which I used to love, but really fell on bad times this season. But Mad Men, I think, is still brilliant.
Yes.
Nominated for nothing. And again, this woman, Moss, who was in Mad Men.
Yes.
Won for Top of the Lake, did not win for Mad Men. Why is Mad Men this? Is it sort of like we've been there, done that?
Absolutely. It's 15 minutes is over. I think also people are, the wrangling with the writers and the extended
delayed season.
I think this is kind of payback for, you made us wait. Yes, you're great. You're really great. You know, we really admire you. I think that's the deadly thing, the admiration rather than love and enthusiasm. It's sort of settled into, you know, the Mount Rushmore of television programs.
We're talking with Tom Connelly, professor of English at Suffolk University, about last night's Golden Globes. You know who I thought came off great last night, especially after Poehler and Faye called him the garbage man because he was surrounded by too many other bigger stars? Matt Damon. He gets up and admits that he forgets his glasses to read the teleprompter. Tell people what happened.
Well, like other aspects of the show, it's in a way that even when the Oscars go absolutely wrong, it seems planned. There's a spontaneity about the Golden Globes that's just irrepressible and unapproachable. And also, Matt Damon, and the rapport that he had with Michael Douglas, when Michael Douglas said, "I only won because I had more sequins."
This is for Liberace.
From behind the candelabra.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, that also comes on the heels of Melissa McCarthy, who did a really funny bit. The report, what they were saying, her co-presenter said that a sandbag fell from the roof or something of this hall, fell on her head, and she thought she was Matt Damon. And so she came out, and Melissa McCarthy, who is really funny, did this whole thing where she was Matt Damon. She introduced Mrs. Matt Damon, her wife, who was sitting with Matt Damon in the audience. You know, the thing that I really liked about this...
And Matt Damon, by the way, just to finish it,
did
get up there and just ad-lib the whole presentation
about the Tom Hanks
movie about the terrible Captain Phillips, takeover by the pirates of the ship. So Matt Damon was great.
I should have mentioned Melissa McCarthy was in Identity Theft, which is where the whole thing came from, which, of course, I forgot. You know, the thing I liked most about this, Tom, is you've hinted about this. I love how relaxed the whole thing was. I love how, you know, I'm always saying when people make high budget, do things they know a lot of people are going to watch, like the Academy Awards, like the Golden Globes, that sort of thing. It was an environment where you felt you were really almost, it sounds pathetic to say, so I'll say it. You almost felt like you were part of the party, if for lack of a better expression, people sitting around tables. How do they not get that? I mean, is the notion that the Academy Awards are so huge that it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to have huge audiences anyway?
Yes.
And so the Golden Globes is sort of like the stepsister.
And also it
has to be more creative. Is that what it is?
And it's the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. You know,
the head of the Foreign Press Association made fun of himself. Yes. He came out, gave like a 20-second speech, which was great, and mocked himself. It was terrific.
Yeah. You would never – I mean, the Academy Awards has an accountant come out to verify that everything is accurate and on the up and up. Here, they all admit we're drunk and having a ball.
That is essentially what the theme is.
So I'm wondering when we do get to the Academy Awards, because the nominations are going to come out on Thursday. Tom Connelly from Suffolk University, what do you think are going to be the nominees? 12 Years, we assume, is going to be there. American Hustle, obviously, is going to be there. Does The Wolf of Wall Street make the cut, do you think?
I think because of Scorsese, definitely has a shot.
I thought if they shortened the movie by a third, if it was 2 hours instead of 3 hours, it might have been okay. DiCaprio was pretty good.
Yes.
So
yes.
Who else is in the list, do you think, for the best movie?
Well, the Joaquin Phoenix thing, a lot of critics are saying is just brilliant.
And I think Blue Jasmine has a shot, because the Academy always gives Alan a nod, although not at the Lifetime Achievement. I think that's in the running.
It was a wonderful movie. Alec Baldwin, who we're all supposed to hate, did another wonderful performance.
But you're absolutely right, Marjorie. Cate Blanchett's performance was extraordinary.
Unbelievable. It was just unbelievable. And it was so... it was just perfectly done.
And from moment to moment, you love her and hate her, have sympathy and disdain. Just remarkable.
What about Matthew I always mispronounce his last name, McConaughey, the guy in the Dallas Buyers Club.
Well, I loved
what... written off for years as kind of like just a little pretty boy.
Yeah,
but he emerged.
I loved what Tina Fey said. Oh, yeah, he lost 45 pounds. That's, in other words, what an actress does when she gets a movie role.
Exactly. Yeah. That was a great
line,
too.
But he showed he's got more than the pretty boy talent going on.
Yes. He's always been sort of under the radar as to being taken seriously for anything. I mean, his nickname was Bongo Boy from the time they caught him on a bongo board stoned out of his mind without a stitch on by the police, you know, at his Hollywood
house.
He's
got a good a role in Wolf of Wall Street, a small role, but as another kind of crazy.
He's memorable.
He's memorable. It's a great scene with DiCaprio in that movie.
So what was your takeaway before we say farewell, Tom? What was the one thing that you'll carry away with you from last night's deal? Just that everybody was drunk?
Everybody was drunk, and also Meryl Streep is still the single most important person in the American entertainment world.
Why?
Because she's the joke that they made. You know, a Meryl Streep over 60 still gets a good part in Hollywood. Everything boils down to Meryl Streep. She is always the standard of quality. No matter any award show, any discussion in movies, it's
even though she didn't win. You know what the other takeaway?
Why do you say that?
Because people believe any part she undertakes, she does it brilliantly. You know, she learns a new accent, she gets a new tick.
Well, who is a person in this generation? I guess you could argue she's the last generation. Who's the person in the current field of actors and actresses who has the ability to play any kind of role? Like, I mean, from Mamma Mia to, I mean, we can go down the list. I mean, the woman can do anything.
It's also her personal life, too.
Yes.
There's no scandal. There's no drinking and falling
apart. She rides
apart.
A bicycle
She's
to the post
office.
Married
to the same guy. Yep. You know, the family. It's all that stuff. She's not like a little starlet. We've never seen her naked or anywhere close to it. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Now, that was your takeaway, Tom Connelly. I have to say you're wrong. The takeaway from the night... The takeaway from the night is,
the
no, this is it.
I weren't wrong.
Bono has got to lose the sunglasses. I mean, when he and U2 got up to win the award for best score from the Mandela, and everybody knows the whole band was very close with Mandela. They basically acted like he was their friend. And the history suggests they're not aggrandizing this thing. What is with the violet-tinted sunglasses as big as an average person's head? What is he doing there?
It was enough to get a lip lock with Amy Poehler.
Yes, he did. That was a good scene, actually. Hey, Tom Connelly, it's great to meet you.
Okay.
Thanks so much. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom. Tom is a professor of English at Suffolk University. Thanks again, Tom. When we come back, we're going to look at what one sociologist describes as men's hidden crisis. They need more men friends. That conversation is next on 89.7 WGBH.